Good evening, this is Marty Ford live on BBS Radio on the show You Bout Ready, the place where you've become empowered using critical thinking, your own resources, the world around you, heightened awareness, and strength of character, self, and soul to make you a better person and to help you live a more productive and successful life, the one that you want to live, the life you choose, not the one you dream about, not the one you dream about, because if you're dreaming, you're not doing. If you're doing, that's good, because you're accomplishing goals. And I hope you set a goal for yourself. By the way, I neglected to say, we are coming to you live on BBSRadio.com from beautiful downtown Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawatt Station. That's where the show comes from. And I forgot to say that because I got so excited about being on here. I am rather revved up tonight, and there's a good reason for that. This is the beginning of the holiday season. Everybody's going to gobble down some turkey. And overeat and overindulge in many other areas too, which is not that good. So be a little smart, empower yourself, and do pushaways. You don't have to do push-ups. You can do pushaways and limit the amount of bloating that goes along with the overindulgence of all the good stuff that we're cooking. And I just don't understand. I remember as a kid, I think it was Butterball Turkey had a TV commercial that you dial 1-800 or something and learn how to cook a turkey. What is the big deal? People cook every day, a variety of things. A turkey's no different. Just have to cook a little longer and maybe give it a little bit more love, you know? Maybe cover it with aluminum and take it off. Let the juices flow. Turn it upside down. All kinds of things. Stick an onion in the cavity there. Stick a hunk of garlic underneath to give it a little bit more pizzazz. But you don't have to go all out and watch all these shows that teach you things that you know based on your own common sense and probably things you learned from your mother, your grandmother, your aunts, your neighbors, and whoever else was in your world who was doing all the cooking. So we are here at BBSRadio.com. If the name of the show is You Bout Ready, I am your host, Marty Ford. You can hear previous shows, by the way, if you have a little time and you want to learn a little bit more about what we do here as you listen, learn, and laugh along the way. You can go to www.bbsradio.com/delta/you-bout-ready. One word, you-bout-ready. My picture will come up. Unfortunately, it's not the best of pictures, so maybe wear some sunglasses. It's a little frightening and scary. It's like when I was a kid, we listened to the DJs on all the AM radio stations. It was FM was too avant-garde and sophisticated for most of us and unknown, an unknown world. So you listen to your favorite DJ that you're going to school in and you're at home and they have dances in the area. And so, and then you go see the person, usually a guy, and you look at him and you see this worldly figure out there and he turns out to be something disappointing because in person it's different on the radio. I don't know how, I can't explain it. I'm not that smart and maybe other radio folks can elaborate more eloquently on that. But when you go see it, it's like, oh, wow, it's you? You know, you look so different than you sound. I don't know what that means. But anyway, we are here live. The number is 888-627-6008. Number again is 888-627-6008. If you care to send me an email about any of the topics we talk about, and we do get into a lot of different ones, overlapping and going on tangents and so forth, you can email me at hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com. Hamp73@gmail.com. You about ready? Because here I go. Time for another powerhouse hour before you shower, Marty Ford radio show. In this hour, you can begin to become empowered. You can accomplish more than you ever thought possible. So listen, learn, and laugh. You'll feel like a kid, hungry to play like you once did. And you know, that's part of the problem. We don't play enough. It's Tuesday night. I get pumped and psyched on Tuesday nights. Why? Because I look forward all day to the coming on the show, coming to you live here on BBSRadio.com. And I, as I prepare in the mid-afternoon, late afternoon, and then I go out and play ball. That's me being a kid. I'm a little older, probably a generation, and most of the guys out there, at least 20 years in some cases, which used to be a generation, 20, 25 years, but now we're not creating families until we're in our 30s and 40s and so forth. In fact, when our kids were born, I was 40 and 44. And the doctor said, you know, having a kid at 40 is not a problem. Having a two-year-old at 42, now that's going to be a problem. Then our second child was born, And he said, well, having a newborn at 44 is not a problem too much, but it's really going to be a problem a two-year-old at 46. So I said, listen, man, we pay you a lot of money, and we love you, and you've been very kind and generous and helpful, especially to my wife, the mother of our beautiful children. Can you come up with a different line, you know? Come up with something different to make me feel a little bit better, because I was old, and that's okay. Because being a kid keeps you young. I hate hanging around adults, grown-ups, or whatever you call them. Taxes, the teachers, the contractors, politics, all this gobbledygook they talk about at social gatherings, which are nothing more than overindulging food fests and beverage consumption, when you should be sitting down, maybe playing board games, maybe going for a walk, maybe playing a game outside like volleyball or frisbee or something, doing something. Being a kid, we forget to be a kid as we get older. We lose all that stuff, the connection. I always tell people, I've been working with people, especially in recovery, for about 20 years, mostly youth, and I always tell them, don't let anyone take the kid from you. Yes, grow up, mature, get educated, move on with your life, recover, et cetera, et cetera. And once they recover, once they understand that they're going to be in recovery the rest of their life, that's half the battle, and they can grow and prosper. But don't lose that microscopic piece, the size of a freckle, that allows you to be a kid, to paint your face, to ride a bike, to splash in a puddle, to jump off a Tarzan swing, if anybody knows what that is anymore, just to be a kid, to laugh. When's the last time you laughed so hard, your mouth opened, nothing came out? The muscles in your stomach hurt, tears were coming out your eyes, and you were laughing for so long, you don't even know what you were laughing about, but you felt good. Because the brain was doing something, I guess, popping out those endorphins like M&Ms or babies on the night of a full moon. But you felt good because you laughed. There's not enough laughing. There's not enough older people being a kid. I'm happy when someone says, boy, you know, you're acting like a kid. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. One of the cliches. Ha! I don't finish it that way. I just say thanks. I appreciate it because that's how I want to be. I have my adult responsibilities and take care of what I have to do, but I'm still going to play as long as I can. I'm going to still make a silly, a funny, a joke, a humor, laugh at myself as others have maybe laughed with me and maybe even at me, which is okay, I guess, at times. But you want to retain that, right? Because it gives you a sense of purpose. It gives you a place and time to go back to remember that you were a kid and life was innocent and it was fun. You actually had fun. Did you play with your friends today? What'd you do? I don't know, but we had fun. Oh, what'd you do at work? I listened to my boss berate me, belittle me, embarrass me, frustrate me, and put me down in every way and do everything in their power to get rid of me, which has happened to me as well. And bosses is another story. But you want to be a kid. Keep it all to yourself, your life, but keep a piece of it that no one can violate, pollute, infringe upon, that allows you to swing on a swing at the park, right? To do a cannonball in the pool or jump off the cliff into a lake. Make sure it's safe, right? Check it first, especially with the kids, because they tend not to do that stuff. Make sure everything you do is safe. Safety first, very important, which is what we teach our kids, right? Safety first. Bike helmets, all the gear, overprotecting them. Just go out and be a kid, you know? You'll have fun doing that. We're going to move into the blood donation time. Blood donation, this time of year, blood donations really go down. I've been donating blood for many years. In fact, I was donating on a pretty regular basis. Five times a year, like every 56 days. I'm not sure how the calendar and the math works, but the nurses and the staff at the blood bank at the hospital keep records of it. And I got the inspiration and motivation from my dad, who hasn't donated for many years because after I think you reach 75, they don't let you do it for many reasons, I'm sure, all good reasons, and my folks are 92. But he's got a plaque on the wall in their home, and I think he's a member of the 10-gallon club. And I'm not quite there yet. I think I might be up to 2, and I have a long way to go. But I've had a lot of gaps because I thought when I was diagnosed with high blood pressure and I was taking medicine, I thought I was ruined. I thought I was untouchable. Until about 6 months after that, I hadn't been to the blood donor clinic at the hospital, blood donor bank, I guess they call it. The nurses called me up and said, where have you been, man? I said, you know, I'm no good anymore. Why? Because I have high blood pressure and the cholesterol is a little high. She said, are you crazy? Get your ass in here. We need your blood. Well, what about the blood? No, if we had to turn, she told me, if we had to turn away all the people with high blood pressure, we'd have nobody. So I got back on schedule, and recently I've been really anxious to get there, but I've had a lot of dental work. I've had cortisone shots, had a PPD test at work, and whenever you have a puncture of the skin with a needle, you can't donate for, I think, 6 weeks or whatever the requirements are. So I have to heal. I still have dental work to do, and hopefully no more cortisone shots, which helped me walk but really hurt. But it hurts more without the cortisone shot. The foot was so painful, I thought I had a glass bottle in there, and every step I took, the glass broke. It was that painful. Not as painful as a kidney stone, which I've had two, and you don't want those. Mine I got from dehydration after I went to every doctor but a gynecologist to figure it out. And so I drink more now. And when my lips feel dry, I know I'm on the road to dehydration and kidney stone opportunity, which I want to avoid. All the women who were treating me and helping me told me it's probably as close to giving birth as possible. But if it was up to men to give birth, there'd never be a baby born in the world again. We just don't, we won't go there. Not with the body change, the physiological changes, the biological changes, the expansion and contraction of the body and all this other stuff. We're not going to do it. The going into the bathroom every 5 minutes, which now I'm starting to go every 3 hours. That's a night's sleep for me, 3 hours. So anyway, back to the blood donor thing. I got started when I went in the military at 18. They called all of us out from the barracks onto the front lawn in the formation and said, who wants to go out this weekend? It was like Wednesday or Thursday. Who wants to go out on a weekend pass? And everybody raised their hand and said, sure, we want to go. So give me your ID card. Now, you don't give up your military ID card to anyone. That's what you're told. It's sacred. You have to plaster it to your body. And so we gave it up. And then he held them all up in the air and said, hey, if you want it back, Saturday, 7 o'clock in the morning, donate a pint of blood, you'll get your ID, you'll get a weekend pass. So I did. And besides, you get it, back then you got a donut and a cup of apple juice. Today at the blood bank, there's cookies and pretzels and that fancy popcorn and six types of juices, and it can really be a nice little treat. Probably too much because I don't need it because, you know, the carbs and all that stuff. But anyway, it's good to give blood. And a couple of things about giving blood. I've learned from the medical staff there that other places go out and hustle blood donations, whether it's the firehouse or the school or a blood drive here or the blood mobile there. But what happens is, they tell me, that blood that's collected is sold to the hospitals. The way people, usually the winos on the street or the alcoholics, as we call them today, would sell their blood on the street. They would have a blood bank somewhere in the towns, and you could donate, I think, with $5 a pint. And so now you're giving your blood for a good cause and a donation at some organization to help them, but they're turning it around and selling it to the hospital, which I guess the hospitals need because they can't fill the stations. I think there's like 7 or 8 where I go on a regular basis to accommodate all the need, especially this time of year, the saddest time of the year, right? If Super Bowl Sunday is the most dangerous for women because of abuse, because the men in their lives bet the money that's going to be used for rent, car payment, or the kids' braces or education, and then they start losing after they've been drinking all day. The game doesn't come on till 6:30, 7 o'clock, and then she comes in and says, who didn't flush the toilet? Bam! You know? And I got firsthand information from that from a former staff member, high up staff member at the Battered Women's World in our community. And I don't even know where the place is. We're not allowed to know. And I knew her. She was a neighbor. And I gave her donations of merchandise that I solicited for my family Santa Claus campaign when the kids were young. But anyway, this is a tough time of year, and they need blood. And so if you can, get out there. And I wrote a letter to the government in our state and, of course, didn't get any response. Not even a form letter. I mean, I understand they want to save the 44-cent postage, but they can get bulk and help the post office go back in the black instead of the red. So I made a suggestion. Very simple, because here on You About Ready on BBSRadio.com, live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time zone, we try to come up with simple solutions. You're going to hear one about recovery. You've heard one before about national health care and a national lottery to pay for it. Very simple in concept and solution, but we can't get any takers on it. So the way I came up for, because I'm not connected, I didn't go to the right schools, I don't hang out with the right people, et cetera, et cetera. Remember, you're only two phone calls away from talking to the person you need to talk to. I can't get to that first person to get to the second person and more after that with my national health care plan, which is very simple. I think it's a page and a half to explain. Not 10,000 pages like Obamacare. No one knows what's in there. So the way to run, raise the money for the blood donations, or not raise money, get people to come in besides the goodies and the juice, is to offer them, tell them, listen, when you come in, donate blood, we're going to give you a receipt. Take it off your income tax. And you can donate, five times a year, and you're going to get a receipt for $25. So every time you donate, you're getting a $25 credit, so you can get $125 a year off, I guess, your income tax, however that's done, right? You give the accountant to do it. Hey, it's a good incentive, a motivator. Money's a great motivator, right? We don't need a goodie bag. They give us that already because that gets donated from corporations in the neighborhood or in the towns, you know, the juice and the sweet treats. But give people hard cash. Give them something to come in for. Yeah, I'll go in there and get a $25 tax credit. Five times a year, $125. Not bad. Just for donating blood. And you're helping someone. If you give, you can designate your blood to go someone in need of right there. Or you can give it to, I think they call it the community blood donation, where it's open to anyone. So you never know. Maybe you'd have to be a recipient and there's nobody out there. So a little incentive goes a long way. Yes, it's a good thing to do from the human point of view. Hey, but money talks and everything else walks. And as a great rap singer, I think his name is Montana French. It's either French Montana, whatever it is. He has a great song. And if you listen to it, whether you listen to the clean version or the not-so-clean version, there's ain't nothing more important than the moolah. There's nothing more important than the money. That's the way the world works. Right, and he sums it up in an excellent rap song with some good lyrics and good beats. And put it on YouTube and give yourself a little cheap thrill. Doesn't cost you anything if you have a computer, right? You won't get a tax credit, but if you give blood, maybe somebody out there in the world of bbsradio.com knows somebody who knows somebody that can make it happen. Maybe in a local, and then a regional, then a national, and boom, before you know it, people are lining up to get their tax credit. And the only way you get it is if you donate a pint of blood. Every 56 days is the interim. Want to do it once a year, twice a year, I think up to five times a year. So that's my blood donation story. I hope you found some use in there, and maybe you'll donate tomorrow, especially at this time of year when it's critical and much needed. You could be doing other things right now. You could be doing other things right now instead of listening to us on BBS or me on bbsradio.com, or maybe doing some things that you're doing as a kid right now. Maybe you're finger painting, or maybe you're painting your kid's face, or maybe you're doing, or your kids are painting your toenails, whatever you're doing, blowing up balloons or something, having fun. Or you could be listening to any of a host of hosts out there yelling, screaming, not cursing so much, but just yelling, screaming, and being socially unacceptable in manner and most of their behavior as they talk about things we don't need to really call news on the TV. That's what I'm talking about. The flat screen world that we live in. Because when you live in a flat screen world, your life is flat. And that's a mirror image. There's nothing going on in your life. So you could be listening to those folks. And you know who they are. They're Nancy and Jane and Sean and Chris and Rachel, who are twins, I think, or maybe the same person, I don't know. And they're just going on and on and on. And I'm sure the latest story that they're going to talk about is the one about the waitress who and the tip, the non-story story. I think on the East Coast there was a waitress who the bill was $90 or so, and there was a very rude and crude note written on there, and they didn't leave a tip. Now, today I heard or I read that the people who paid the bill have their receipt, and yes, there's a tip in there, and now they're going back and forth. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for the very simple explanation for what happened. They're looking for the truth. And you know the problem is in today's world? We don't get it. It gets clouded or obfuscated. How about that? I learned a big word this week. We just build things around it to hide it, mask it, disguise it, or get distracted away from it, to draw our attention away from the truth, to do what? Build a story and fill time that can be repeated over and over and debated and argued and never resolved. It goes on and on and on. When all we have to do is have somebody say, could you tell us the truth? Get both parties together. Who's telling the truth and who's lying? And why is it even, why are we even talking about this? It's a non-story. But we need to fill airspace 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they do a good job of that on the media that we are brainwashed by all the time, by listening to people who really have nothing to say. As Eminem always said, nowadays everybody talking like they got something to say. Nothing comes out when they move their lips. Nothing comes out when they move their lips. Like I'm having trouble moving my lips right now because I'm kind of dry. I didn't drink enough after I played basketball. So after the show, I'll gobble down a bottle of water and hopefully dehydration will go away and I won't get one of those nasty kidney stones again. But Eminem summed it up best. Thank you, Eminem. He just made a new song with Rihanna. Sounds good. Sounds like her old stuff and sounds like his old stuff. It's a little cleaner than before. It still has some bite to it. It's got some Eminem flavor. So listen to it. I don't know the name of it, but if you punch it in Google somewhere, you'll find it. So he said everybody's talking nothing but a bunch of gibberish. And gibberish is another word for bull stuff. And what do we need it in our life for? Why can't we just listen to people who have a message out there, right? Something significant to say and contribute instead of just sitting in front of that flat screen just all day and all night watching and listening to nothing. I think we get brainwashed into hypnosis where we hear, we listen, but we don't hear. We watch, but we don't see, and we can't put it all together to make something of value happen because it's just filler. If you have to do something, you have to fight the boredom that you're in, right? The boredom is the enemy of us all, right? Things to do. What'd you do this week for yourself, right? Because I'm going to give you some ideas for my book, Things to Do to Fight Boredom, the Enemy of Us All. Did you make a commitment to something or someone? Did you change or attempt to change your behavior? Like maybe lose a few pounds or stop smoking or put away the bottle so much? Did you get up earlier to exercise or to take care of yourself so you're not late, right? Because when you're late, everything spirals downward, right? You're late getting up. You're late for getting something to eat nutritional. You know, you rip your clothes when you put them on. Your briefcase spills with all your important papers in it. Now the coffee spills on that. You throw everything into the car. It starts raining. You don't have a raincoat. You get every red light and school bus out there. You get to your job or your place of business, and all the parking spots are taken. You don't have an umbrella, as I said. You got to walk. Now you're wet. You have important people coming in for a meeting. You shaved or didn't do your hair well. You're unkempt, so to speak, and everything spirals downward. Right? So make time your friend, not your enemy. Make it an ally, not your foe. Give yourself time. Give yourself time to become empowered. Give yourself time to learn, grow, and prosper. Give yourself time to listen, laugh, and learn right here on my show. You about ready? You about ready to do that? Or are you just going to sit there and be brainwashed by the flat screen world that we live in? I don't know if IMAX is flat screen. I guess it's more, I don't know if it's concave or concave, I guess. They bend a little, I think. I'm not sure. Maybe it's been a while since I've been there. But things to do to fight boredom. There's a whole book of them. One of the three that I've written. The show is about empowerment and critical thinking. My book is Power Up Your Power. The other book is about kids and play, and in general, people in play, of which we don't do enough. And that's called G-Verb, get up, get out, get going. And the third book, as I said, is Things to Do to Fight Boredom, the Enemy of Us All, boredom in capital letters. Because that's the number one reason for people relapsing who are in recovery. They're bored. It's not people, places, and things. That's what they all tell you and want you to believe. And that's true. But that's not the primary. The primary one is you're bored. You got nothing going on in your life. So you reduce yourself to sitting in front of the flat screen materials that you have, and you start doing what you used to do before you went into recovery. You relapse, you look for excuses, you play the blame game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on. You are not becoming empowered. You're looking to go back to what? Being enabled. You know, so clean your house and take out the trash. Wash the windows. Clean the refrigerator. Do something. Because when you're cleaning up your world around you, guess what? You're cleaning up your life. Little simple things. It doesn't take a magician to do that. It's not that hard to do. Things are simple. The basics always work. If you want dollars, you have to get pennies. So here's some things to do. You can read a book, newspaper, comic book, telephone directory, or anything else you choose to read. Reading opens up the mind, explores, gives you vocabulary, makes you feel more intelligent when you're working with people. I had a guy come to me and said he wanted to make his daughter smarter. I said, you can't do that. You can help her guide her. And what's the one thing she can do to build her vocabulary? I said, read. Read a menu. Read postcards. Read anything. But read and you'll expand your world. Nothing wrong with that. You can write and publish a book of short stories that you, knowing that you write best from your own experiences. Everybody's got a story these days, right? Most of them are just excuses, because excuses explain failure. Reasons define success. And the blame game was just recently in the news, I think yesterday or today, about this terrible situation with this senator, I think in Virginia, who was stabbed by his son, and then the son killed himself. It's a tragic thing to have to go on with life like that. It's awful. And now it's starting to come out that it's not the son's fault. He had 24 years old. He had a history of mental illness, right? Had a history of mental illness, and no one could find a bed for him, which I find hard to believe. Here's a senator, a politician, one of the purebreds in our country leading us, telling us to go to war while we go out and party like it's your birthday. And he can't find an accommodating resource for his son with mental illness. Now he's blaming whoever was involved in treating his son, whatever they treated him with. Because we know a lot of that treatment for those folks don't work. Mental illness treatment doesn't work. It goes only a certain level and then it stops. Because they stop their treatment. And all the groups and all the medicine that you can prescribe, they don't use. So what are you doing? You're putting them back on the street again to do things to this. So what did the father do to the kid? Because that's what the world's doing now. You should say, well, sir, Mr. Senator, what did you do to your son to make him do that to you? That's what, ask teachers. They do it all day. That's what they go through. Their question, why did little Tommy Molecule, thank you, George Carlin, why did little Tommy Molecule, you act out in class today. What did you do, Mr. Teacher, Miss Teacher, Mrs. Teacher? I don't know. I was just trying to control the class, trying to manage the class, trying to teach a lesson, trying to empower these kids. A little Tommy Molecule decided to do stuff on his own. Well, it's not his fault. Whose fault is it? I don't know. There's no bad kids, I believe, strongly. I think there's bad parenting, stupid parenting, absentee parenting, apathetic parenting, uninvolved parenting, non-caring parenting, and busy work parenting. Excuse me. I had a dose of speechless interruptus the past few weeks, and it just came upon me with dry mouth, and I apologize for that. So the senator is now looking to blame someone for his son's condition that led to the son killing himself and stabbing of the senator, which is nobody wins there, but someone's going to pay. They'll find some scapegoat. There'll be a William Calley out there. Somewhere he's out there for this guy so he can appease himself and say, well, it's not my fault, right? When are we going to take ownership for our actions? When are we going to take responsibility? When are we going to stop looking to blame everybody else? It's your fault. It's his fault. It's her fault. No, you know, it's like there's your way of doing something, there's my way of doing something, there's everybody else's way of doing something, then of course there's a right way of doing something. There's blame, and then there's excuses, and then there's reasons to define success, right? Now, what failed? Who knows what failed with this? Because we don't know the history, we just know what they're bellowing on the news at us on the flat screen world that many people live in, and we'll never get the truth, because it'll be clouded and obfuscated by the blame game. So let's get away from that stuff. And we've had a long history of that, and it's continuing, and I think we have to stop that stuff. Take ownership. Take responsibility. Be accountable for yourself. And if there's consequences, take it. There's severe consequences. That's on you. You know, why the judge put me in jail? Why? Well, I sort of like murdered somebody. Well, what do you want them to do? Send you out selling ice cream in the neighborhood? Be accountable. Take account of your life. So you can write a letter to an editor on an issue of concern in your town. Mostly it's taxes, government, schools, whatever, street lights, fences, swimming pool referendum, whatever they're doing. You can write a letter to a friend, relative, or even a stranger in the military. I think Dear Abby used to have that. We sent care packages to soldiers several times years ago when the address was published in the Dear Abby column in the newspaper. I don't know if they do that anymore, and I should look up on that because I'm a veteran myself. And speaking of that, I have a website called www.connectwithveterans.com. And what is www.connectwithveterans.com? It's a very simple website where military people, former, current, any military personnel, can sign up, register, and stay connected with people in their world. Find people, locate people. All you do is you put in your basic information, name, phone number, contact, other contact means, whether it's email or Skype or text message, I don't know, all that stuff. And you put as much, you put where you were stationed, any nicknames you had, people you were stationed with, locations, dates and times, where you were, and let the machine go in there and find people like yourself who are you were with, because it's a very unique and special relationship and friendship that is formed while you're wearing that uniform serving the country. There's nothing else like it. And I've been around long enough and worn enough uniforms that the military is the one that needs to be connected, especially with so many guys and girls coming back now with this post-traumatic stress syndrome disorder, and they're getting treatment and medicine like the kid who stabbed his father. Not saying that the veterans are going to do that, although that's the way they were portrayed when they came home from Vietnam as murderers and pillagers and other inappropriate things. So they need help as well. And so sign up, have people sign up, put it out to your anybody in your world. Go to the website. It's very simple, a couple pages, nothing drastic. And there are two fees. One is a registration fee of $25, and there's a $10 annual renewal fee. And where does the money go? Well, it helps pay for the website, offset some of the costs. And every nickel that's left over, every nickel we have, will be distributed to deserving veterans and their families. Now, we're not going to cure all their ills, but a couple of car payments, some rent payments, some food, maybe help a kid go to community college, special needs if they have them. If we have the money, when we get the money, we're going to give it away. The books will be open. It's not a 501(c) nonprofit like that, because I didn't want anybody with their hands in this website's pockets. I want to be in control of it, because I know it takes one to know one. I'm a vet. I'll know right away who's sincere and who's hustling, right? Even though I'll probably get scammed, and that's okay. That's part of it, right? So www.connectwithveterans.com. Have your folks sign up, and at this time of the year, it's a good way to give thanks. We're one of the many who proudly serve, not like the others who haven't the nerve. Protected by status and family ties, they go on living while the rest of us die. We go on the mission regardless of conditions, with heads held high while laying low, prepared to accept when our number is up and it is our time to go. So many lives with all the trimmings and gravy, we're the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, and Navy. Getting fat and fatter, buying bigger blue jeans, we're the Army and Navy and Coast Guard, Air Force, and Marines. With respect for the flag, country, and family, of course, we're the Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Marines, and Air Force. Our goal is freedom. Seems easy, yet it is hard. We're the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and Coast Guard. We rest at peace, covered with our flag, calm and warmy. We're the Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, Air Force, and Army. The ones who know best, like no others, are the ones wearing white, our gold-starred mothers. Give thanks. Help a veteran get connected Help them regain their dignity and pride and become part of something good for yourself and for the people in your world. The cost is cheap. The reward is priceless. So, you can, like I said, you can write a letter. You can send someone a birthday card, email, or note, even though you have had little or no contact with that person for a long time. Did you ever get a card that says, hey, thinking of you. Wow, someone's really thinking of me. I didn't know they knew I existed, because many of us live like that. Does anybody know I'm here? What's going on? Please recognize me. Please affirm me. Please see that I'm here. I'm a person. I have something to contribute. Well, you can only contribute when you become empowered, because then you have something to give away that other people need. The more people become empowered, the more people become empowered, because if it weren't for people like you, there wouldn't be people like you. So you can do something like that. You can organize. You can sit around and organize your family pictures in a photo album. Put it away and look at it once in a while, especially on a cold night, with a cup of hot chocolate to warm your soul as you allow the pictures to warm your spirits. You know, the kids are grown now. They're in school. But I still look at them. I remember yesterday, like when they were born, I look at their pictures. It's a great feeling, right? I get a little melancholy. But I know they're in their right spot, where they should be, doing what they should be doing. Gaining and growing and prospering, learning, becoming more independent, more empowered, right? Because many folks don't even know how to balance a checkbook or write a check or do self-serve gasoline when they live in a state that requires that. So it's the little things in life you have to do. You can go to a movie or a friend, or even better, go by yourself just for the experience, right? I remember I went to see a movie alone. It was Platoon. It was a Vietnam type movie, and it was very good. And I walked into the theater at like 2 o'clock on a Sunday, because my team wasn't playing that week. There were about 20 guys in there, and they were all scattered, sitting by themselves, right? And when the movie was over, we all walked out by ourselves, went our separate ways. Like Journey, I listened to before I come on the radio, I get pumped up with my music, and Separate Ways by Journey is one of them. Joe Cocker, Unchain My Heart. Steve Winwood, Roll With It. Man, if you can't get pumped and juiced and ready to go, listen to the Powerhouse Radio Show on bbsradio.com with me, Marty Ford, your host. I don't know what you can. Your blood's got to run, or you don't have any. I don't know what's going on. You can go to a live theater apartment. Go bowling with a friend or two. Let me tell you something. When you go, oh boy, I said that. I apologize. Let me tell you something. I am telling you something. When you go bowling, you should videotape it. The body language, the gyrations, the movements that go on when someone's bowling, trying to move that ball with their body after it's released, going towards the gutter and waving it and flailing their arms and moving their hips and kicking the air and all, it's hysterical, right? We used to take the kids when they had their little birthday parties when they were 7, 8, 9 years old, take them to the bowling alley and divide the kids up, 3 or 4 in a group, no matter how many groups you had, 4 or 5, and let them bowl. You know, they roll it with 2 hands, the bumpers are up, they get some points down. But I made it competitive just to test the competitive spirit of the kids. I said, 10 cents for a spare, 25 cents for a strike. And let me tell you something, these kids were focused and concentrated and motivated, and they were trying to get all those pins down, no matter on the first ball or the second ball. I ended up giving away about $15 in dimes and quarters. It was wonderful. And they remember that. I still see some of those kids around town. They're all in their 20s now, in college, out of college, starting families. Say, I remember that, Marty. Boy, that was a lot of fun. Or Mr. Ford, actually. And I always tell them, listen, you're not a kid anymore. My name is Marty. And with respect, they'll still call me Mr. Ford. And I learned that by being around my parents' friends many years ago. I knew their first names. But it was always Mr. and Mrs. Marks, Mr. and Mrs. Thompson, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, whoever they were. Even though I could, and they told me to call them by their first name. I just couldn't get there. My brother, too, you know, because of the respect that we had for them as our elders, as mentors, as teachers, as role models, positive, healthy role models. Even though I'm sure they did things behind closed doors, as many people do, but they were role models to us when we were around them. Mostly social times, right? Backyard picnics, religious services, family celebrations and observations of achievements, graduations, etc. They were always there and always visiting. We go to each other's house. We knew all the kids. It was a fun place to grow up and be around. healthy role models. The kids don't get enough of that now. Why? Because they see so much rude, crude, socially unacceptable behavior, especially at youth sports games. Go to these sports games. I would ban the parents. I would tell the parents, here, go in this little hut, and you can watch a game on a flat-screen TV like you're used to doing at home. And you can fight over the clicker. I don't care if you kill yourself. But leave your kids alone. They don't need you yelling, screaming, cursing, badgering, harassing, and coaching, if it's called coaching, themselves, because they get embarrassed when you're in front of them, their face all the time. And you don't need to be harassing other kids out there, usually the opponent's kids. And that's how trouble starts. Ask any parent who had a kid in youth sports all the way up through middle school and high school, playing competitive sports of some kind, and you're going to hear stories of, whoa, my God, I can't believe that happened. But it did. Because we think we're competitive, living our life through our kids, when in fact, we should be out doing something. I cheered for our kids. I cheered for their teams. I coached some of their teams. We won games. We lost games. We had good games. We had whatever it was. But we were always there for them in a healthy, positive, reinforcing manner. And please, get away from the goodie bags. The kids don't need it. They're too fat anyway. And so are you and me, right? We can all stand to lose a half a person. But the reality is we don't have to just reward them every time they tie their shoes with a lollipop. I'll never forget, our daughter was having team pictures. Maybe they were 10, 11 years old. And they all posed individually and then with the team and the coaches. And here comes the mom running up the hill. Great job, girls. Good job. Good job. Good job. And here comes the ring pops, the lollipops, and the chips. And all. I said, please, take it away. They don't need it. They're going to play a game in an hour. And that's it. They'll go home and have lunch or dinner, whatever the meal of the day was. Stop that stuff. Schools are trying to get rid of that with cupcakes and birthday parties and sweet drinks and all that because of sugar. The most dangerous white powdery substances out there, folks, not cocaine and all the other things. It's sugar and salt. And stop watching those food shows where they layer it and plop in the pounds and tubs of butter and fat and lard and sugar and salt and sugar and salt and just find something else to give it flavor and taste. You know, there's a lot of herbs and spices. I'm learning now as I'm older. It's wonderful. It's like opens up your breathing, your sinuses, your nose, your nasal, your olfactories. They work. Wow, that smells good. I want that, right? Instead of the same old Me Too crap that's out there. So, you know, that's something you can do for yourself. Join a book club, or better yet, start a book club. And I have a problem with this because I mentioned last week my wife is in a book club, and most of the books they read are all miserable. Why is there so much misery? In the first chapter, there's death and murder and other kinds of and bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up stuff. And then that sets a tone for the story, like the cop shows on TV. They always start, oh, my God, this horrible situation. Why can't there be some more happy stuff, you know? Watch The Big Bang Theory and reruns of Seinfeld and The Three Stooges, even though they're violent. Join a health club. Get involved, right, with something. Even if you're just walking on a treadmill that's flat line, like your TV, flat screen, so you don't have an incline. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Just do something. You'll feel good. Get a sweat. Get a burn. The endorphins will come popping out of your armpits. You'll feel good, tired, achy, but you'll feel good. And you know what? You're going to want more. Because why? Tomorrow when you wake up, you're not that hungry and your pants are a little loose. You're feeling good about yourself. And isn't that what it's all about when you're becoming empowered? To feel good about yourself. Because when you're feeling good about yourself, you make others in your world feel good about them because you know how it feels and you want them to experience that. So get away from the negative and go for the positive, right? Go take a hike, go ride a bike, go fly a kite, go do something, right? But these are things, and there's many more, right? Go put your feet in a stream. Go to a body of water and let your feet dangle. Sit on the edge or something. Put a chair at the ocean, let the waves massage your body. So do something, right? Get up, get out, get going. Feel good about yourself, become empowered, and let someone else do it as well. I can't believe the time is flying by here because I just read a couple of good things that I wanted to talk about. Oh, the cliche. Oh, my goodness, the critical thinking brain buster of the week. Last week's was, dun, 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 bum, bum. You're driving a bus, school bus. You're driving a school bus and you go to the first stop and you pick up four kids. You go to the second stop and you pick up 5 kids. And you go to the third stop, you pick up 4 more kids. You go to the next stop, you drop off 8 kids. Go to the last stop, you drop off all the other kids that are on the in the bus. Not on the bus, in the bus. Thank you, George Carlin, again, who used that in reference to airplanes. Remember, you don't want to get on the airplane, you want to get in. Very uncomfortable, and it's a short-lived flight if you're on the airplane. Anyway, the question is on that the bus driver thing, the question is, what color is the bus driver's eyes? Well, very simple answer. You're the bus driver. Did you hear what I said? You're driving a school bus. You go to the corner, you pick up 4 kids. Doesn't matter how many numbers are out there. You're not adding, people add and subtract in your heads, and you're missing the point that you are the bus driver. You're driving a bus. You're not hearing what I say. You're listening, but you're not hearing what I say. And when you have heightened critical thinking, you'll pick that up, just like you'll get all of these brain busters. So the answer is, whatever color of the eyes, whatever color eyes you have, since you are the bus driver, that's the answer to this week, last week's critical thinking brain buster. This week's critical thinking brain buster, I'm not sure if I gave it to you before, but we'll do it again because maybe we have some new listeners out there, if we have listeners at all. Question is, how many birthdays does the average person have? And I'll leave it at that. I will leave it at that. How many birthdays does the average person have? Next segment that we usually go over here are cliches. And we always talk about cliches being curse words of our modern day vocabulary, because we're too lazy to think of something maybe more creative or a little different. We go into the Me Too mold, and we just say the same things over and over again. And every week, I come up with 3 or 4 to add to the list, and the list includes things like same page, transparency, at the end of the day, amazing, step it up, roll it out, and going forward, all in. All in, I like that one because most men can't get in there all in these days unless they have that little blue pill. When in fact, last week I said they could use some yeast to get a good rise. I don't know how long, if it'll last 4 hours, but they might get a rise down there. Best in class, moving forward, dial up, ramp up, level playing field. We have to have a level playing field, right? They're all equal. Everyone's equal. And all you're doing is looking for a little leverage yourself, right? But as you go through that, you're talking about a level playing field. Fusion and artisan and handcrafted and hand-dipped. Critical mass. I don't know if that's a religious statement or not. Here's a new one. Gastropub. Sounds disgusting. Not like you have stomach problems. If I was a restaurant, I would never refer to myself as a gastropub, because you don't want to go in there. Maybe it doesn't smell. Your olfactories will tell you that it's not the place to be. Infused, flat out. Here's a good one that the politicians were throwing out a few weeks ago. Boots on the ground, right? We have a small window of opportunity to get the boots on the ground. There will be no boots on the ground. Certainly, there won't be any of my boots or my family's boots on the ground. We're not going there, but we're going to send people to get their boots on the ground. And maybe, hopefully, they'll stay in their boots instead of getting blown out of them. Huge! It was huge! Well, unless you have a lot of blue pills, I don't know if it's going to be that huge or not. Man up and grow a set. Come on now, guys. Guys who they usually say that or refer to usually are both micro and soft and probably could use that little blue pill or a few of them. Then we had last week, it's a no-brainer and it's a slam dunk. This week, we want to add a couple. Leave nothing on the table. Don't leave anything on the field. Take it with, put it all out there. That's money. That's a money shot. I guess that comes from Moneyball in the 3-point shooting contest at the NBA All-Star game. Money. They say it at work. Pickup basketball. Every week, there's always a guy. Somebody takes a shot before the ball's halfway airborne. Money. That's money. That's what I'm talking about. Right? That kind, even if the shot misses. We talked about window of opportunity. Here's another one. Again, the blue pill. Oh, I already said it. Man up. The blue pill might be needed. And one that goes back a little way, cut to the chase. Right? Cut to the quick. Cut to the chase. Get to your point. Stop with all the gibberish and just say what you want to say. Hopefully, it will be the truth. And the last one for this week is the word guys. G-U-I-S. Not G-U-I-S-E. G-U-Y-S. Used by women and men. This is Mary Smith on the field reporting back to you guys in the station. And so it's a women's basketball team, and they're talking about the team. So, well, the guys tonight played really well, and so I guess we don't want to get gender insensitive. So guys has become a neutral word, right? Guys has become a neutral word. Back to you guys up there, because everything can be mixed gender-wise, which is fine, I guess, but it's become cliche. So those are the kinds of cliches that we gather here, and hopefully there'll be some more next year. We also have, if I can find it, and I think here it is. We have what we call a tidbit of useless information. And this week, I've discovered one that has to be a little adjusted, because it says that the tongue is the strongest muscle in the human body. And I can believe that with all the crap we have to chew, raw hides and all that stuff, and spit out. But the tongue is also the most useful, wicked, and dangerous part of the body. You cause more pain with your mouth and your tongue. Because the old cliche, if you ain't got nothing good to say about something, don't say anything at all. Or somebody, don't say anything at all. Well, a lot of people preach that, but they don't do it. They can't hold their tongue. If they had to bite their tongue every time something they wanted to say was maybe inappropriate or negative, they'd have no tongue at all. Because that's the kind of mean-spirited, disrespectful people who are out there. Any advantage that they can get over somebody by making someone else feel lower and weaker than they are, because that's the bully mentality. Don't forget the bully mentality. And bullies are just filled with anger because they are the lowest one. They were the last name called. They were the last to bat in Little League and all this other stuff. And they're coming up with all excuses. As a matter of fact, you're going to find out from this senator's son who stabbed his father and then killed himself. I'm sure it's going to come out that the kid didn't have a birthday party or cake when he was 7, never went trick-or-treating, had all kinds of issues at home, no one liked him at school. We're going to go through that scenario, and everybody's going to go back and say, oh, isn't that terrible? The only good thing is, sad to say, is the kid took himself out, damaged his father, and we don't know what the father did to the kid, if anything, right, to provoke that, like the teachers are, what'd you do to make Tommy Molecule react that way or act poorly. So the tongue, yes, it's a strong muscle in the human body. I don't know how much a tongue can bench press, because that's the way, you know, you get pumped up with steroids and everything. You bench press and lift. I'm going lifting, right? I can lift 200 pounds all day. I just have to pick myself up out of my chair where I'm sitting. But the tongue is can be useful for a lot of things, right? We'd be lost without it, like a big toe or a thumb, but more important probably. But it's wicked and dangerous, vicious and malicious. So be careful how you use it. When you're empowered, you don't have to worry about your tongue biting you back in the rear or anyone else. Because you're not going to say things that antagonize and otherwise make people upset. And you're not going to have that. So that's a tidbit of useless information. Though the tongue is the strongest muscle in the human body, it is the most useful, wicked, and dangerous. Tough things. If you want to give us a call at bbsradio.com, we're live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. The number is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. And if you want to send me an email about anything, it's hamp73@gmail.com. All right? So we had our cliches, we had our critical thinking, we had our tidbit of useless information. Now we're going to talk, I got to read you this. I just have to read you. It's been researched and found that we are currently facing the most sedentary generation of children in our history. That comes from a White House chef and works for the First Lady, Mrs. Obama. The first Mama Obama has a chef who says the kids are too sedentary. Do you know why? Because they're not getting up, getting out, and getting going. They're plastered in front of the flat screen TV, brainwashed all day, and they're not let out to play. People let their dogs out more than their kids. Dog goes for a walk 2 or 3 times a day to relieve themselves. Kid goes into the bathroom, takes his little computer game or cell phone with him and sits there for whatever time. Then comes out and goes sits in a chair, right? And while they're doing that, they're eating all the wrong food. So we're really not modeling a healthy lifestyle for our kids in many ways. You know, nutrition, attitude, values, lifestyle, behavior. Think of all the bad behavior. 6 screaming TV heads all talking at the same time, flat screen brainwashing instruments out there, and everybody saying, well, if you just let me finish, if I can get a word in edgewise. No, you can't, loudmouth. Shut the heck up. Let me finish. And they go on like that, and they go on like that and waste time. Then they giggle and chuckle. Then they go out and have dinner together. It's like the WWF has gone worldwide, global. There's another one. It's global, right? Because a lot of things that are copied in business come from the WWF. I think their business model, if it's ever been known, I think it's pretty top secret there, is used by the business schools well known in the country. The pyrotech stuff that explodes and blows up and flashes, boom, 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 at the events indoor, is used by outdoor venues all over the place, concerts, ball games, whatever it is, where they use that stuff. And again, they come in and they have their script and they act and behave one way. And then when they're done, they probably go out and have supper. Just like all the people who we think don't like each other, who are creating friction amongst themselves to create ratings, to create chit-chat, gossip, and more boring conversation because people have no lives to talk about what? Themselves, their families, healthy things. You know, when's the last time you went over to someone's house for a cup of coffee or herbal tea? Right? Or a glass of wine or something or nothing. Just to go over and sit down and, hey, how you doing? I think we're afraid to do that. We are afraid to do that because we don't know what to say if we don't have a cliche. Isn't it amazing that at the end of the day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? I have nothing because I've done nothing for myself and for someone else. If you really want to do something good this Thanksgiving, go do something for someone maybe less fortunate, or someone who wouldn't expect something from someone. Maybe a visit somewhere. Maybe a drop-off of a card or some flowers or anything, a toy of yourself. Sit with someone, maybe read them a book. Tell them a story, right? Give it away because you can't keep it all yourself. You can have the big dinner. You can have all the hoopla. You can have people sleeping right after they eat dinner. You can have people with upset stomachs. But what do you have inside besides a stuffed gut? Where's your heart, your soul, your spirit, your character? Give something away, right? Once in a while. It's like the blood, 4 or 5 times a year. So you get a receipt for $25, a tax credit. If you give blood, that's cool. But doing something, especially at this time of the year when there's so many people in need, food banks are bare shelved. The donations are being going after at every supermarket around the area. People, multiple people out there, hey, do you have something to give, right? And they do. People do give, but they have to almost be coerced and forced to give or led into it by guilt. To go along with that great quote from the chef at the White House, if I can remember this. Oh, yeah. Here's a quote. It just requires shoes. You can walk wherever you are. And that comes from an exercise physiologist who's a spokesman at the American College of Sports Medicine in Indiana. He says, go for a walk. That's a simple thing, man. That's all you need. If you go for a walk once a day for 30 minutes and build it up to twice a day, 30 minutes each, just wearing basic sneakers, sweat clothes, something comfortable. Now it's getting cool in many parts of the country. Put a hat on and some gloves and a scarf and get the heck out of the house. Get out. Get up. Get out. Get going. Use that G verb. Get out. Do something. Going for a walk. Here you go. You got research experts, physiologists, all these doctors and scientists. Hey, man, just go for a walk. You don't have to be extreme sports. You don't have to be a triathlete. You don't have to be anything. Just get up, get out, get going. Your appetite will shrink. You'll go to bed hungry. Eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, dinner like a pauper. Have an apple, a cup of tea before you go to bed if you need something. The bananas are good. You wake up, your pants will be loose. Your stomach will shrink. You won't need to fill it with as much the next day. And so on and so on and so on. And it all starts with going out for a walk. I don't have time for that. What are you doing? I'm in front of screaming heads on the flat screen brainwashing apparatus we have in our house. Those are my tools for survival. That's how I live. That's not living. That's barely existing because you're not doing anything for yourself. You're just creating stuff to fill a void in your life that has no meaning and nothing to do with anything except filling time and wasting your time if you're so inclined to continue to be brainwashed by that stuff. I hate to say but I did. There's a big pharmaceutical company that's paying $2.5 billion to settle lawsuits from some faulty apparatus that they sold people. Well, I'm sure that's built into the business plan. They probably made more, 10 times more than the $2.5 billion in profits off these things. And now it's time to pay the fine, which they knew was going to happen. Happens all the time. You know, last week I signed off by mentioning cheating, you know, scandals of cheating with people, with kids at the elite colleges, so-called elite, the well-known, the brand name colleges that everybody wants to get into, but very few can or get in. And it's a scandal all over the place. And that's why I feel bad about my national health care, because in there I ask people just to, if you're going to rip off the system, you're not going to be part of it. Give them one shot. Get them out. Right? You only get one shot. Don't blow this opportunity. Thank you, Eminem. And it can work. And I'll explain more about it. If you want to know more, call up bbsradio.com, 888-627-6008, or send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. We often talk about race relations. Got a great one for you today, right? Because, as you know, all my soul I cannot control. I move and groove and shake and bake before I come on this radio station talk show. I got my music. I got the music in me. I forget, Kim Carnes sang that, I think, a long time ago. Well, I need to feel that. Gets me pumped and energized. Revitalizes the spirit. I can move my body now. I've been trying different moves, and wow. And dancing. Go dancing is one of the things to do to fight boredom. It's all over TV. Why don't you do it? Instead of saying, gee, wow, I don't look like that and can wear those clothes, but I like what they're doing, so go do it. There's places all over. Look in the phone book. Look on the internet. Google it. Do whatever you got to do to find something to do. It doesn't have to be right in front of you. Sometimes you got to do a little work to find it, right? Especially for the creative people, a lot of them who are in recovery. So the race relations thing, there's a white supremacist, one of those guys, they're still around, can you believe it, in this world? I thought they would all be dead by now of all different causes. But they just found out, they did, I guess, some scientific test, whatever, DNA maybe or something. And he's only 62, so maybe he has a long life, hopefully. I'm 63, I want a long life. But it just found out that he's 14% black. But they didn't finish the statement. Yeah, he's 14% black. He's a white supremacist, hates people, probably black people all over the place. But now he's 14% black, but they neglected to tell you that he's 86% stupid, because that's what he really is, and people like that because they're closed mind. You have to keep an open mind if you want to get along with people and taste their food. No one's going to invite you into their world if you have a closed mind. You won't be open to it. You'll be a whiner. Oh, I don't want to do that. You sound like those nasally, whiny, no disrespect, women announcers on TV, whether they're reading the news, and they all have this like high-pitched, twiny, nasally, whatever, upspeak, I guess they call it. Anyway, the guy's 86% stupid, and you know what? You don't want him in your world. Only like, kind people. That's who he's going to hang around with. He won't have an open mind. He won't go out of his area, his town, his neighborhood, his village, whatever you want to call it. Maybe I shouldn't use village. Hillary likes that word, and I guess the guys like this don't want to be considered part of the village, especially now when it's not fashionable to be a white supremacist, as it was during the times that we just saw portrayed in all the JFK 50-year anniversary assassination documentaries all over the TV, right? Digging up all those memories filled with hate and the mistreatment of people, right? Dehumanization of people. Yet those same black people who were portrayed there, we revere when they're successful at what they do. Not the ones who are doctors and professors and lawyers and professional people, inventors, scientists and all. No, the athlete. We revere them. We can't wait to touch them, hold them, get their autograph, shake their hand, give them a tap, a high five, a low five, any five, right? We love that. They jump up into the stands at football games, and they get patted all over, and yeah, yeah, good job. Just like the kids when they're like little. And good job, six. I don't know your name, but you're number six, so I'm calling you six. Good job, 14. Was there a 14? Not too many double-digit numbers back then. But the black athletes do great in football, I'm speaking, and in basketball when an athlete jumps into the stands going after a ball, showing his heart, passion, and desire to win and succeed and be successful in basketball, not just there, but in life as well, we hope. But we want to touch them. There's sweat all over us, right? And I'm never going to watch this. I'll put this on eBay. It's got somebody's sweat, a well-known athlete. Got his sweat on there. He tore it. Look at this, ripped by a professional athlete, an all-star, a future Hall of Famer, a true freshman. More cliches. The true freshman. I don't know what that is. I mean, a kid's 18. He's a freshman in college. He's a freshman. Maybe there's freshmen who aren't freshmen because they're 25 years old. I don't know. Why do we always have to designate the true freshman? Are there a true sophomore? Or is it true meaning truth or actual? I don't know. The words are confusing. I'm not that smart. But again, it's been brainwashed into our head to almost expect that kind of speech and cliche coming out of the people who give us the information about the games. All right? So that's a part on that. So we have... a list. I don't want to end with it because it's negative, right? We talked about that. This was negative enough. I want to end by just telling you to do one thing. Become empowered. Because when you become empowered, you can empower someone else. Come up with the answer to the critical thinking brain buster today. I'm not going to repeat it. Hopefully you heard it. You've been listening this time. And once we sign off, you can go back to your flat screen world, or you can do something for yourself. Give yourself a goal. Write it down, right? Do something. Become active. Participate. Don't spectate. Participate. There's enough time for that, right? You need to participate. You need to do something positive and healthy for yourself, right? The difference, we always talk about differences on this show. Men and women, offensive and defensive linemen, terrorist and a freedom fighter. We have another difference in recovery. For those who are in the world of recovery, who are looking to get out seriously, it will only happen when you make it happen because you've been able too long. If you're looking to stay enabled, stay out of recovery because that's where you're going to be. And there's no secrets or myths or mysteries or anything about recovery. It's plain and simple, and I'll give you an example. Because as we know, explanations are always the best examples. There's two guys. Right? Francis and Pat. Actually, there's two people. I gave it away. Francis and Pat. I chose those names because they're gender neutral. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, right? Because maybe they didn't have a birthday party or a birthday cake or didn't do something that all the other kids did. They didn't have a new bike. They got one out of the recycle bin and the trash, and they felt weak and not up to standard with everybody else. They weren't competitive. They felt less of a person, and that's why they're do all the things they do to damage and harm themselves to put them in a position of having to go in recovery, which is very fashionable these days, right? And you can go into, I just found out about one, I think it's $40,000 a month. Now, you're telling me that senator down there with his son and his condition couldn't find something like that or somewhat cheaper to take care of his kid, get him off the streets? By the way, hate to say it, we should empty the jails. I've said this before, but we should empty the jails of the marijuana people because all they want to do is smoke marijuana and eat candy and cookies. Not a bad thing. Chances are them going around banging them up, blowing them up, shooting them up, the world, are a little bit more remote than the psychos who were on the streets doing all these damage and creating news stories for these 24-hour flat-screen TV news services that brainwash, continue the cycle. You see how it's all everything's related? So if we let the marijuana people out, who historically are basically passive and calm and compliant, just give them their weed if they as much you know they can handle and control, make it legal so you can make taxes off it, and let the two most powerful gangs in the world control it and own it and manage it. Not the Crips and the Bloods, though the colors are red and blue. I'm talking about the Republicans and the Democrats, because once they get their hands on it and divide up the money, it'll be like that rooftop scene. With Hyman Roth. I'm sorry, not Meyer. Hyman Roth dividing up the casinos in Cuba with all the families down there. So the money has to be allocated and distributed to the right people before it can happen. I guess that has to happen for my national healthcare, national lottery plan. It has to hit the right people, and they have to get their cut, and so they can distribute it to everyone else and make it happen. So there's two people, Francis and Pat. Pat has a heart attack, goes to the doctor, says, man, you got to stop eating all that crap and drinking all that junk, beer and alcohol. You got to stop smoking. Got to lose about 30 pounds. Got to get out and exercise every day. Got to live a little healthier life. You're getting older, and your body's starting to wear down. Wear and tear. That's what happens to the body, right? I'm experiencing with my foot right now, with the bunions. I asked the doctor, what do you do if the cortisone and the orthotics don't work? He says, I get my hammer and chisel, go in there, and try to take away the wear and tear, smooth it down, because that's all it is, the aging process. So Pat has a heart attack, goes to the doctor, gets all this advice, and the doctor says, listen, join a gym. Get a pair of sneakers, some comfortable clothes. Go to the gym. They have people there who can help you figure out how to lift weights or do the treadmill or the bicycle or the elliptical, whatever other machines they have there, rather than getting it home and having it become a towel rack that no one uses. And then you have the other guy, Francis, who is Pat is in prevention. He's in recovery. I'm sorry. Getting old and tired. He's in recovery. He's recovering from the heart attack, and these are the things he has to do based on the doctor, what he's telling him, and all the experts in his life. And he goes there, and he's working out on the treadmill, and he meets Francis. And Francis is doing what? They have a conversation. And Francis says, well, I come here two or three times a week. I watch what I eat. I have very limited alcoholic intake. I stopped smoking 30 years ago. I hang out with some positive people, make me feel good about myself, support myself, and I do the same for them, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm trying to lead a clean and healthy life. Well, if you break it down and look at it, the two people are doing the same exact thing. One is in recovery, recovering from something. One is in prevention, preventing themselves from having to go in recovery for not having a heart attack. Well, people who are substance abusers, alcoholics, gamblers, overeaters, addicted to whatever else is out there, maybe their cell phone, they're doing the same thing, or people who are trying not to get in that position are doing the same things. They just have to realize that the success comes from the fact that someone has made up their mind to do it. Because it's only going to happen when you make it happen, whether you're in recovery or prevention. There's enough people out there in both. Which side of the fence do you want to sit on, right? You an offensive lineman or defensive lineman? It doesn't matter. You want to recover from something that happened in your life that maybe you had no control over, or maybe you did and couldn't get away from it by the lifestyle you were leading or the people you were living around and with and hanging out with and doing things with? Or do you want to be in prevention, taking the initiative? I think the big difference is the person in prevention is empowered, and the person in recovery was once enabled, looking to become empowered, and they can both feed off each other. That's a support system right there. This is Marty Ford on BBSRadio.com live Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Leaving you with these thoughtful words as I do every week. Power up your power. The power is in you.